Hello, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. My name is Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. And our guest today is Zanna Shore. Zanna is a writer, humorist, and fiber artist with a passion for all things craft. Originally from Utah, they are currently based in Brooklyn, where they spend their days making lattes for tips. Hi, Zanna.
Hi, Erin. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Today, our book is The Tale of Emily Windsnap by Liz Kessler. It's the mermaid episode. I'm so glad we got to do a mermaid book.
Had to do a mermaid episode.
I feel like it is like a core genre of play for like young people socialized with girls. I have a pilot about Selkies that I've been marinating on for a while. It's a good time.
I was 100% a mermaid girl. I was also a fairy girl. That was my world. So of course I wanted to talk about a mermaid book.
The book is, I think, from 2003, which is, I think, a big year for the rise of the internet. It's a brand new world. I looked into Liz Kessler and I didn't find much. She has a website and she's from the UK. She's worked as like a local journalist as well as a writer, and her big thing is she loves the water. She loves the ocean. She's like, I want to be near it at all times. That's my jam. Her website's pretty cute. She has written, I think, a series of like, this is like middle grade. She's written some like picture books just about her dog, which is great.
Very cute. I was not aware of the dog.
So, how did this book come into your life? What's your story with it?
I mean, I know for a fact that this was one that I got from my elementary school library, probably like third grade, I would guess. And by that point, I was already like firmly in my fantasy, fairies, magic. And so when I was in the library and I saw the cover with this like mermaid on it, I knew immediately that I would love it. And this, I think, triggered a long-standing mermaid phase of mine that went on through like the H2O just add water era, which I think is a little bit after this, but still, like, I was just so into the mermaid fantasy. I loved it, especially being someone from a landlocked state. I was so fascinated by the ocean, and I kind of do still think mermaids might be real.
I mean, our episode that dropped this week, yesterday, our guest Ashley Westover does have a compelling argument for the existence of dragons.
Yes.
So why not? Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
So the Tale of Emily Windsnap, tale is spelled T-A-I-L. We love it.
Hilarious fun.
And yeah, the subject of the book, it's this girl who lives on a boat in the docks. Her mother is afraid of water, and the book starts when the gym class goes to the pool. She gets in there and discovers she has a tail now. Her legs like zip together when she gets in the water, and she starts to uncover sort of the mystery and the history. Her dad is out of the picture, so where he went. And I was really surprised about this book. First, I wanted to just talk about like you touched on it with being in a landlocked state. Like, what was your relationship with like swimming, lakes, other bodies of water?
Other bodies of water. I like did swim classes at the rec center and absolutely loved it and tried to get everyone to play mermaids with me. And my family's from California, so I spent some time in like LA, San Francisco, and I was always so fascinated by waves and the ocean. And I loved, especially on the West Coast, that when the sun sets on the water, I would like probably stare at the sun too long, waiting for the sunset.
I recently snorkeled for the first time.
Oh,
And
wow.
yeah, I was with my boyfriend and then I texted my parents and I was like, I think this is my favorite thing. I think this is my life now.
Is kind of magical. I remember I did snorkeling in one of those like tank pools where you like swim the sharks at one point. And even that, I was like, these animals, they're just like flying.
They
It's
are.
magical.
And swimming over coral and stuff. I went to the beaches in Delaware. I'm from Maryland, went there every once in a while, but like my mom does not swim. And she, when we talk about it, she's like, I don't float, I sink. And I, for some reason, just like refused to learn how to swim. I wanted to go to the pool. I loved being in and around the pool, but it was like it just would not take. I don't know why or how or what. I also can't float, but I am also like every time we travel, I'm like, does with my boyfriend, I'm like, does the hotel have a pool? Because I need to know. I
I
might not
need to
even
be in
go,
the
but I have to go in the pool. And what startled me about this book is, I don't, have you seen, it's an animated movie that just came out within the last year or two called Ruby Gillman, Teenage Kraken.
I have not seen that.
So, it's Lana Condor from To All the Boys and Annie, I'm blanking on her last name, from Schitt's Creek. And it's an animated movie with almost the exact same setup of this. For some reason, last year, like I saw the trailers and the posters and I was like, this looks adorable. It looks so cute. And I missed it in theaters. And then I was on the plane home from LA to DC for Christmas and watched it and cried. But it does start off like girl lives in boat, afraid of water. And she discovers that it's because her matrilineal line are like descended from the queen of the krakens versus mermaids. And it's very cute and
I'm
delightful.
upset. I need to watch this movie now.
It's DreamWorks. Her grandmother is played by Jane Fonda. It's so fun. I think her mom is Toni Collette. It's very cute. And like, all she wants is to go to the prom. It's just very cute and sweet. So I was really startled by that. But then we get into what one thing I loved about it was that it talks about her dad is gone. He's out of the picture. We don't really know what happened. And then, of course, the book is the process of learning that. But I was really surprised that, you know, a kid's book not just tackled it, but depicted it, you know?
Yeah, and that was something that I had forgotten in the many years since I read it, but I again was kind of surprised how much they tackled it as opposed to kind of the fairy tale. I just have my mom, and that's just like it's something that she actually like has to deal with and is like kind of like has like feelings about and expresses, but like she's upset about it, but she doesn't really know how to articulate that. And I think that that's like a very interesting thing for this level of book, I appreciate.
Yeah, me too. And what is ultimately revealed is that there's this big conspiracy, which is one of my favorite things ever. It's revealed that Emily's father was a mermaid, star-crossed lover with her human mom. They illegally, by mermaid law, illegally had a baby. He is then imprisoned underwater in the mermaid world jail, and mom's memory is wiped by the local lighthouseman and his Sunday donuts. I love the whimsy of it. I really liked the language of it, and I also liked like the high stakes of it. There's like a trial at the end.
Yes. It's like a very kind of intense story. Like her essentially like freeing her dad who's been locked in prison. And then also something that I picked up on, and it's like, I'm not saying that this is one of the books that made me gay, but just I feel like looking back, so much of this language about like the illegal marriage between mermaids and humans, and there's all of this like, I can't imagine someone like being punished just because of who they fall in love with, and like this a sense of illegal marriage, and like, yeah, I feel like that was handled in a very interesting way.
Yeah, I highlighted a line because like it was the same subject that startled me so much, from Emily. You can't make people stop loving each other just because a law says it's wrong.
Like, exactly.
Amazing.
Amazing. for 2003 in the UK.
And I think even before, there's a moment where she goes to talk to the lighthouse man before she discovers everything. And he tells her that her father was his friend and he's placed there by the mermaid government to perpetrate this conspiracy. And he's talking to her, basically trying to get her to no longer be interested in her father. And he says about the dad, he did a very good impression of love for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like a startling amount of like emotional intelligence, regardless. Like, that's a stunning line in any book. Props to Liz. It was really
Like,
good.
yes. And I feel like there were so many scenes because I kind of expected to revisit this as one of those typical like mermaid fantasy fairy whatever stories. But there's so many of those like really kind of emotionally tense scenes. Like there's the scene where she's talking to her mom and like her mom admits that she doesn't even remember anything about her dad. And there's like a kind of an implication that there was like a trauma there and that's why she didn't remember. And it's just a lot for a children's book to deal with. And I think that it's handled really well.
Yeah, I think there's obviously like, so both my parents were always in the picture, so I can't speak to this experience, but I do know that you're always looking for answers, of course. You're always looking to find out what it is. And I think there's a bit of wish fulfillment that like I can't decide if it's dangerous or not. I think probably not. I think it's probably like really nice
Yeah.
to have a book that's like, what if this thing that hurts is actually because he loved so much that he broke these rules, you know? That like I think it turns the thing, instead of like feeling like an accident, feeling like your existence is a mistake, into your existence is so important and you are so wanted and so valued that all of these rules were ignored, and ignored with the knowledge of their consequences because you were so wanted. I think that's so nice.
Yeah, I really enjoy that.
Yeah. The end, she goes through this trial, which Neptune is there. And I was interested because obviously, like, Little Mermaid was kind of the biggest touchstone. And I think that came out in the 90s. I feel
Yeah, I
like that
want to say
movie,
like 97, 98.
it feels like 97. I feel like it's the same age I am. But, like, copy paste of that Neptune. And
Yes.
I also remember there was an animated series of that show that I watched on Disney Channel every once in a while. It was like on at like 10 p.m., you
Yeah. I
know?
feel like I have such vague memories of watching that show as well, and I can't even visualize a single thing that happened.
No, I just know that the animation style like was disappointing. Like, it was not a good quality. But I think that was like, speaking of it's the obvious comparison, I think like the Neptune thing is very on the nose, but otherwise it really stands on its own.
Yeah.
And I think it's also, this didn't really occur to me until just now, but like she is, I think she's 12 in the books,
Yeah.
around that age. And I think like her body starts changing in ways that she didn't know to anticipate. And isn't that
Yeah.
puberty? And damn.
It kind of is. And also that very classic teen trope of like realizing how much your body's changing in like the locker rooms and like at swim practice, like where you're so vulnerable.
There's also, I'm realizing, speaking of DCOMs, there was it the 13th year where it's a boy who discovers that he's a mermaid?
Oh, yes.
I think so. So it was in the zeitgeist.
Yes, mermaids. And I was also very into H2O, Just Add Water,
Yes.
which I feel like was around this time, maybe a little later. Like to me, that sits in like 2005 to like 2007.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't quote me on those dates.
No, but it's also, I feel like now I'm just like, and this one, it was the era of aquamarine. A
Yes.
huge, it feels like growing up in the age that we did, like you were just always finding DVD copies of Aquamarine. They were just like everywhere.
Yes.
Gosh, and that movie has Emma Roberts and JoJo.
God, JoJo is in
JoJo.
that.
I love JoJo. I remember so clearly one time when everyone was old enough to start using Spotify, they had to see what other people are listening to. And a kid came up to me who was like a friend of mine, who was like, "You're listening to JoJo?" And now I'm like, "Who is this guy?
Yeah, what did they listen
JoJo's
to?
amazing." That vocal talent. Yeah, heck that guy. But also, I think something on her body changing that is really a nice turn on puberty is she talks repeatedly about, like, it's frightening when it's changing, especially the first time it changes. And then there's a feeling of calm that washes over her, is the way it's described,
Yeah.
as though she, like, lived in the water. That, like, I think there's this thing in a lot of media of, like, finally feeling at home, like, you found the place, you're not weird anymore. I like that.
Yeah.
That sensation was put in her body, her physical self.
Yeah. Because I do think that, like, as someone who grew up as a very weird kid, I was kind of drawn to these, like, fantasy, like, fairy mermaid stories because there was this sense of, like, I feel so out of place, like in the normal world. And then I enter this like fantasy world, and suddenly I fit in with everyone else, and I feel like so at peace with myself.
I was startled by how gorgeous the language was
Yeah.
in describing a lot of the. This is a woman who loves the ocean. She loves she loves it. But she uses language that I think is surprising. Like one line that I highlighted, she says, "The night was crunchy with a million stars."
Yeah. I also noticed that she multiple times describes the ocean as like creamy, which is not a term that I would have associated with like ocean water, but it makes so much sense. Like invokes a very specific sensation.
Exactly. I like that her language is not just about visuals, but like you were saying, about physical sensations.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that specifically until now.
Wow. Liz, what a the writer you are.
I also found it at times really funny. There are just these little like gags, like they go into her and her mermaid friend Shona. Well, first off, I want to talk about mermaid school and the classes
Yes.
they have because it's adorable.
Yeah. I think Shona at the beginning is saying that she's studying for her hairbrushing test.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah, and like she I think hasn't like aged up into it yet, but there are like siren classes about like, you know, how many men can you lure with your beautiful voice? I think there's like a choir for it. It's just adorable.
Yeah, everything about the mermaid world, I think, is like so, it's just very cute and sweet, and then also like feels very fleshed out for such a
Yes.
short book.
She puts a lot of like really small details that I think is what fleshes things out. I think like to me art really sings through specificity and like specificity makes things feel universal. So the one that I highlighted that also just made me laugh is that they go into an office when they start doing their detective work and she says Shona like pulls on something. A second later, an orange glow burst out above me. I blinked as I got used to the sudden glare, then looked up to see where the light had come from. A long, slimy creature with a piece of string on its tail clung to the ceiling. Electric eel, she explained. I think later, like, someone has, like, an electric eel as, like, a stole around their neck in, like, the courtroom. It's adorable.
So cute. And I feel like I can't remember specifically, but there's like a thing where they're like reading off scrolls. And she's like so fascinated by it. And her friend Sean is like, well, how else would you read?
Underwater, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like just kind of seeing her friend explain all of these things to her and being like, what do you mean you don't use electric eels? How do you light things?
Yeah. Again, it's the details. Like, things are called swishy when they're cool, which is
Yes.
adorable. That also sounds gay. That sounds like how my grandfather would be like, "Oh, that one's a little swishy." You know,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah. Also, not to once again harp on the gay stuff, but there
But
is something about being like a young girl and having this like secret and then sneaking off to hang out with your secret friend who you can't tell anyone about because you would have to reveal your secret. Like, there is something there.
Yeah, what I'm discovering is as we talk about it, that there are so many ways that this story can be applied. Like so many avenues that it can present to so many different kids, whether you're looking for like explanation of where you belong, whether you're missing a parent, whether you're queer. There are so many, or even if you just feel out of place, which I think like again feels so isolating but is so common.
Exactly.
It's like we can't all have felt out of place. Someone has to have felt in the right place, and maybe no one did.
Yeah, maybe that's the big secret of it all, is there is no place.
No. Oh, I hope so. When do I know any former popular kids?
Get a popular kid on the pod.
Hello?
We need that
I
story.
know. Would anyone identify as being a popular kid? Shameful.
Yeah, embarrassing.
Yeah. I also really liked the character of Millie, who I misunderstood as being the same character as the bully, Mandy.
Yes.
Because I was like, why is a girl the exact same age coming to babysit? And that was on me.
I also get confused. You need to use more letters in the name, simply.
Especially Millie and Emily are the
Yeah.
same name.
Yes.
But Millie tags along during the final sequences of mayhem, of stealing a boat, of going to the underworld, the nautical underworld, and he's like pulling out tarot cards. She is pulling out herbal teas. I love it.
Like, she's hypnotizing people just for fun as a little side hobby.
Oh, and I want to talk about Mr. Beeston, who is
Yes.
the lighthouse keeper. Obviously, he has this role in the conspiracy, but he starts as just a weird guy hanging out around us. And I feel like that's extremely relevant. I had a weird guy, coincidentally named Marlin, which is a fish.
Yes.
But my parents were in community band, and before I was like old enough to stay home by myself, I would just sit on the couch in the back of the community center during band practice. And Marlin would always come over during break and be like, "Hey kid, how you doing? What are you reading?" And it's like, nothing wrong happened, but I do want you to leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm just small.
Yeah. There's always just like a strange man. And I do kind of like that even the mom doesn't really know why he's like, she's like inviting him over for dinner. And like, even she is just like, I don't know. He's
Yeah,
around.
exactly. I think it's maybe at one point she's like, he's lonely, which I think is true. I think like, I mean, well, actually, here's a question. It's a series of books. Did you continue to read the series as time went on?
I did not. I
Okay.
think that I didn't realize that it was a series until like much later. Because my school library probably only had the first one.
True. Because that's a character that I wonder, like, how it is he ends up in a very different place by the end of it, and I wonder how his, if his story continues, how it continues.
Yeah. Maybe it's time. Maybe I'm gonna go and read. There's like 10 of them, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a lot. Also makes me wonder, like, does she go to high school? Like, I
I
don't know.
would be interested to see like if the books do kind of like age with the audience, like you see a lot
Yeah.
of other children's stuff.
And I think it was also interesting how there was this, I think it was Julia. There's this a little bit of like navigating the normal world of friendships between girls and like kind of a friend
Yeah.
breakup, which was interesting.
I just think that there's so many layers of like interpersonal relationships, and like you get to see like a new friendship developing and kind of like an old friendship falling apart, and all of this that feels so relevant to 12-year-old girls or just 12-year-olds in general.
Yeah, and they leave it on this interesting note of like the resolution is that they have to go live on this island that is like an experiment
Yeah.
where we're seeing if humans and mermaids can live together, and Shona, the friend, is coming along, but I don't think we ever find out if her parents are on board with it.
Yeah, kind of left on this cliffhanger where it's just like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but you know that that would be rough for for parents. That's in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy through the series keeps disappearing, and Uncle Henry and Aunt Em are just like, please stop. Like, I guess she'll probably come back fine. Oh, I think something that I noticed is there's this repetition of this phrase of like, I need to know the truth. And I found that really interesting and universal. I think like even if that truth is nebulous, there is always a sense of like, there's so much I don't know. And like that urgency of it felt really relevant.
And I feel like that again, this is like kind of an age where kids are like starting to learn things apart from their parents and also starting to realize that their parents like might not be 100% honest with them or might not be telling them the whole truth or like kind of learning that your parents are like a fallible source of information and kind of having to figure things out for yourself for the first time.
Yeah, it's such an interesting dynamic where Emily knows things that her mother doesn't and knows that her mother's memory has been wiped. And I think you touched on it. There's this really difficult and beautiful scene where Emily like takes her mom to the spot where she and her father met and is like trying to get her to remember. And it's starting to work and she's starting to get pieces and then kind of shuts down because it's hard, because it's hurts. And her family moved away. The mom's family left. And it's to find those really grounded moments in the fantasy elements, I think is really rewarding.
And something else that I did want to talk about was the fact that she does that they do live on a boat. I do think that it's very funny that the mom like has a fear of water, that it's like revealed that that's like I think something that the mermaids kind of like implanted in her to keep her away from. And so she like has a fear of water and still chooses to live on a houseboat.
Wild. But also, did you want to live on a houseboat because of this? Like, how did that play into your
I
memory?
still kind of want to live on a houseboat because of this.
Especially the idea of just like, we're picking up. Like, all of us, we're gonna go. The world's our oyster, you know? It's adorable.
Very cute. Also, I was not familiar with how British this book is.
Oh, I don't think I noticed that. Say more.
I think there were just certain things that I noticed in a reread, like Britishisms that I just did not pick up on as a child. Like, I think she says, like, have a chat with somebody a few times. And like, I reading it as a child, I guess I placed it on, like, it felt very like Northwest to me. Like I was picturing it like San Francisco or like Seattle or Portland, like that kind of a coastline along there. But reading it, it does feel very British, which again, I don't, maybe this is me having a limited belief of about mermaids, but I don't associate mermaids with England.
No, I think because like I don't associate it with like British mythology, right?
Like you brought up Selkies, like that is something that feels more in line with like the British Isles or Ireland more specifically.
Yeah, it's almost like mermaids. There's something about England, maybe it's the fog, but it has to be grungier to British mythology in that universe.
And like I don't know enough about the origins of mermaid mythology, but I associate mermaids with like I guess the Caribbean and like more tropical places
And I
and
think,
Australia because of H2O.
yes, I associate them, I think, with like the Mediterranean because of like sirens in Greek mythology, but very warm places. And maybe that's just a thing of like, I liked that when she transforms into her mermaid legs, her shirt, her like swim shirt is still there. But I think I associate mermaids with like warmer climates, because if you're just wearing a seashell bra, that's cold. It is chilly.
Also, another thing that I thought was interesting is like kind of the environmentalist aspects. Like her mom is obviously very like kind of hippy dippy and like has this friend who's like really into crystals and tarot. But then there's also like several scenes where she describes swimming through trash before she gets to like the clean ocean. And she's like, I gotta get past this like ring of just like random trash close to shore.
Yeah, I think there's this contrast of like how beautiful the ocean is, but not docks, not harbors, which is very true. Yeah, it's something grungy and polluted. And I did have like a little like jump back when she would jump into the ocean from the houseboat. There was something like, that's not clean, girl.
So again, it makes it clear that this author very much loves the ocean and like has a strong passion for like the like keeping the ocean clean and like what how beautiful the ocean can be.
It makes you want to go to the beach. It makes you want to hop on a boat. It makes
Makes
you
me
want to
want
hug
to
your
go
mom. Yeah.
surfing.
Yeah, it's really sweet. I was glad to read this one. It was just like heartwarming and good and cute and really beautiful. The language especially was really gorgeous.
I would like to ask like your experience with mermaids as someone that was from like Maryland, so more of a coast.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm not from like the Bay Area, the Chesapeake Bay Area, but starting in sixth grade, every like science class had like a test which would include like a written prompt about like how filthy the Chesapeake Bay is and how all the crabs are dying. And like there's Ocean City, Maryland, which I only ever went to once, but is affectionately known as Ocean Shitty. so I think like I didn't really have that. And I remember like there's this idea of like you were a mermaid kid and I was like a witch kid. Like I ran witch school on the playground and I ruled it with a very heavy hand and kids did not like it. And that's fair.
That I think I also did that. At some point, I went through a witch phase.
Yeah. I think for me it was like heavily like Buffy influenced. And they have a great fish episode. Great as in bad, but really fun, where the whole swim team, it's like a metaphor for steroids, but they're fish.
Yeah, like they're juicing and then they turn into like sea monsters.
But really, no boys besides Mr. Beeston and Dad, but like no young boys.
I did think that that was interesting. Maybe again, this is like a British thing. I feel like co-ed schools are not as common, but I was surprised to see that like no one in her swimming class, like there were no boys around.
Yeah, I think there were like a few names here and there, but certainly no characters that really stuck. And yet that did resonate with me of just like, especially when I was in elementary school, of just like boys didn't register. Like it just wasn't. Unless it was like, and I think this is also a queer thing, there would be like one boy that like five girls had a crush on. And I think I remember being like, well, everyone else is saying Peter, so like, sure, that's it. I'll go, like, there's community there.
Yeah,
And all
that
the girls would like this boy.
is like I had the experience of like the girl that like looking back, I had a crush on, some boy, and so I was like, well, if she likes him, I have to like him.
Exactly. But there was never competition. It was never like there was always room enough for everyone. But I also like that there's no romantic through line. It's a story about a 12-year-old dealing with like very 12-year-old things. And
It feels very just like not focused on that kind of like childhood experience or story. It's more focused on these kind of heavy thing. It's like she's dealing with like her dad who she in her mind thinks abandoned them and like learning the truth about that. She doesn't have time to focus on having a crush.
Yeah, I think it's also like it's really rooted in that moment, even in that, like, she's not wishing that she's older. It's like, I have these really urgent questions about right now. My body is changing right now. And I think I really appreciated that it was so rooted in that moment. And I think also, like, for kids to get them to focus on that time instead of like focusing on boys, but like the future complications, you know?
Yeah, I definitely was one of those kids that spent so much of my childhood just like wanting to be a grown up already.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so hearing that and kind of like having this story to try and focus on appreciating the time of your life that you're currently in can be
Yeah.
very important for kids.
Yeah, this book surprised me in a lot of ways and I think is distinct from other things. I really liked it.
Yeah, me too. I am glad that I reread it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll reread the whole series.
Was this maybe your first time revisiting it since like third grade?
Yeah, it's possible I read it like several times in like third grade,
Yeah.
but this is definitely the first time I've revisited since young childhood.
How did it hold up? I mean, we've sort of nebulously touched on that. How did it hold up to your memory of it? Like, what do you perceive really differently now as an adult having looked at it?
I think I perceived it as very much like a lot less complex than it is, which I feel like we've kind of talked about. And I viewed it as like much more typical mermaid story. I kind of saw it in line with like the Aquamarines and like the H2Os and like all of the other mermaid media from that time period. But I do think that this like stands out and tells a much more complex story than just the kind of baseline typical mermaid. I mean, I guess my other thing is you kind of talked
Yeah.
about like being a witch kid of like other like this kind of phenomenon of like children latching on to a specific fantasy creature. 'Cause I know I went through a pretty strong fairy phase before I like truly latched on to mermaids. And so I wonder like, what do you have to say about why do kids want to
Yeah.
be fantasy creatures so bad?
I think that's so cool and such a good topic. And I also wonder like what were boys' equivalents? Was it like sports? Was it superheroes? Was
I
it
feel like I'm,
dinosaurs?
you kind of touched on dragons. I feel like a lot of, at least at my school, all of the boys were reading like Aragorn, that dragon book.
Yeah, that's true. Witches was huge for me and I think that was the main thing. But I'm also thinking like I mean Harry Potter was huge. I think I don't know exactly what it is, but just like being in the forest, kind of. I feel like that's like fairy adjacent.
Yeah, I had a lot of trees in my childhood backyard, and so I would just go like pretend I was in the forest and like a fairy going into the fairy world.
Exactly. There was so much like this sense of wonder of like what's around the next tree? What's under here? What am I finding? There's yeah, I think the sense of like finding worlds that surprise you that like you didn't know about and can maybe explore and escape to and what stories are there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like I played a lot of school, which is so boring. And I would go home and teach stuffed animals things. And it wasn't even like I was like parroting what I had learned in class. I was just like drawing like numbers and X and Y. And just, like, this is really hard, but I know it. God, what a nerd.
Yeah. I would obviously play mermaids like every time I went to the pool, every time I got the opportunity to swim, but then also would play mermaids alone in my backyard on land. And it's just like I'm playing pretend of like whatever else I'm doing, but I'm like, but I have mermaid powers also.
Ooh, yeah, if I remember H2O correctly, and I think an aquamarine mermaid powers,
Yes,
in addition to being a mermaid.
I so badly wanted to be like, I think Cleo is the one that can like move water, as one of them can like freeze.
Was there one that was like, maybe this is aquamarine? I remember an aquamarine, she could like talk to her starfish earrings, and I feel
Oh,
like maybe talk
yes.
to other fish.
Oh, I think in H2O, it was one of the girls could boil water. And so she could sense steam, and it was probably like a metaphor for her being hot-headed.
Yeah, it was the one with the boy's name. Was it Ricky? Who like
Yes.
had frizzy hair? She was my favorite.
She was definitely a lesbian also.
Oh my gosh, yeah. She was the one who's like a tomboy, absolutely.
Yeah.
But also, that really reminds me of like something that I feel like was, a year or two behind me, but Avatar: The Last Airbender. Those are
Yeah.
your bending things. I also, in terms of play, I remember at like summer camp playing a version of rock, paper, scissors, but instead of your hands, it's like your whole body and it's three different poses. And I think it was like wizard, something in between, giant. That was
Yes.
it.
That just like awakened something in me. I also did that.
Oh my gosh, I loved that. Now I'm just thinking about like group games. There was Mafia.
Yes.
Alternatively, was it Werewolf? It was like basically the same thing.
Yeah. I was not a Warrior Cats kid, but I know that that was I would watch the Warrior Cats kids like play cats at recess.
That's true. I never played Cats, but I definitely did read those. And a big reason I had cats, I still have cats, but I won't lie, the author's name is Erin, and that did a lot for me. But then
That's fair.
it's like a pen name for like a group of women, but I really want to do
Oh.
warriors for this show. Anyone out
That would be
there?
a good one.
I've just been waiting and no one's claimed it. Maybe there's a
It's
sense of
actually
shame
shocking
around
to me
it.
that no one has claimed it at this point.
I know. Especially because I did read those, and there are different clans. They have wars, as in the name. They have mythology. I think they have God. Like, there's,
Yeah.
again, talking about dense world building.
Yeah, I have like have Warrior Cats explained to me by other people, and it's one of those things where I take everything at face value because I have no choice but to believe it's true. But some of the things I'm like, what do you mean? There's like this intense generations long war going on,
Yes.
and like a religious schism, basically.
That you're describing it that way, I feel like it was child Game of Thrones in a way,
Yeah.
more so than maybe anything else. And I know there are like so many, not necessarily spin-off series, but spin-off series of like maybe prequels, maybe like later on. I also went to Goodwill, it was sometime within the last year, and there was a spin-off series called Hunters that had a polar bear on the front
Oh my gosh.
that I really want to know about.
Yes. Also, Emily Winstep in my mind, I feel like I read it right after I read a bunch of like the Tinkerbell, like Pixie Hollow books about the fairies that aren't Tinkerbell in Pixie Hollow. And I remember that the one with Silvermist is also about mermaids because she's a water fairy. And so she is like friends with all of the mermaids. And I don't remember exactly, but I think it's like her trying to help the mermaids, like with one of their problems, or like something was stolen and she has to get it back for the mermaids.
I feel like I missed Pixie Hollow by a year, but that is also something I would love to do because it felt like world building. I think anytime there
Yeah.
was like, this one has this power, this one is orange, and this one is blue, I would just feel like that is like an organizational method I really liked, like my brain
Yeah.
really caught
And
on to.
it's like perfect for children that it's like you can like identify with a specific thing and like it says so much about your personality.
Exactly. It's Harry Potter houses, but it's also in a more specific way. It's like you're on the playground on the blacktop and you're like, okay, well, you can be the orange one today.
Yeah.
And like obviously
I'm
no
gonna be
one
a
wants to.
water fairy and you
Exactly.
have
There's always the one nobody wants. Yeah, classic.
Yeah.
I like when there is an idea put in of like, how are kids gonna play this on the playground? Yeah.
Yes.
I was listening to a podcast that was about, I think, Transformers, and it was very much like the toy came first, and then how do we build a series of comic books and television shows in order to sell more products?
Yes.
But there's also a sense of like, how do kids play with this? How are kids going to interact with this? Which I think is fun and interesting.
Yeah, I will say the Pixie Hollow books were my second choice for this podcast.
Oh my gosh, come back, do
Come
it.
back. I'll be a recurring guest and we'll do Pixie Hollow but I do think that is one that was written so specifically for kids to be able to play. Like they have such like also like you mentioned Avatar. I think that's another one that because it was so easy to be like, I'm a waterbender, you're a firebender, and then they just pretend to throw things at each other.
Exactly. I feel like I don't know why I never got into Avatar. I feel like maybe it was something about like the animation style was off-putting to me, which is weird. I think also the like Pixie Hollow movies, it was something about the animation style that was
Yeah.
off-putting to me.
And like, I was the most annoying child being like 9 years old watching the Pixie Hollow movies and going, but the book was better.
Yeah, true.
I remember specifically there was like the Pirate Fairy one. And I read the book and then I watched the movie and I said the book was better.
I want to read that now. Oh my gosh. Pirates and fairies?
Great, great book. Because the fairies kind of exist in this like fantasy world among
Yeah.
many others. So they like talk to the pirates, they talk to the mermaids. There's also like one of them that I didn't read her book, but she's like the animal fairy. So she's just like hanging out with all the animals.
I don't think I knew like how to put a name on this when I was young, but as an adult, I do. I'm very much a person of like I want to see the little mice living in the tree using like acorn caps as hats. You know,
Yes.
that like that's me.
Yep. That was very much me as a child as well. Like, I wanted to have a little, like, I remember there was like one of the Pixie Hollow books where she's like pouring tea out of an acorn.
Yes,
Perfect.
exactly.
No notes.
Exactly. That was like, it was so much, I think, to me about like recreating normalcy within fantastical worlds. And I think that's something that really resonated with me about this book is how, like,
Yeah.
even in underwater, they still have desk lights and they still have, you know?
Yeah, they still go to mermaid school and study for their hairbrushing tests.
Which I like that it wasn't really a vanity thing. It was like this is in order to like lure men in.
Yeah.
They don't really say for what purpose.
Yeah, and they don't really say what makes a good, like, how do you ace your hairbrushing test?
But we know Shona
Yeah. You know that she's really good at it.
Yes.
She
And
does it in such like an elegant manner or
exactly.
something.
She stays up late studying. She goes out like to find, you know,
The
isolated
best
places to
place to
study.
practice. Yeah.
I respect it. It's such an interesting conversation of like forms of play,
Yeah.
universes to explore.
Yeah. I was very into like you said, like wizard play. I got very into like the Buffy the Vampire Slayer, like Vampire Hunter stuff. And I feel like that was something that I played a lot. I
That's
loved
like
making spells, casting
potions.
spells, making potions. Like, this is something that my sister still likes to bring up to like embarrass me. But after reading this book in my mermaid phase, I like went on YouTube in like 2007 and found a YouTube video that was like how to become a mermaid, and you had to do like this like special spell under a full moon. And I like did it and then like sat in the bathtub and was like, why am I not a mermaid?
Yeah, but also what a time capsule. Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember like early YouTube, and it was just like some like dreamy ocean music with like a slideshow of text that's like on the next full moon. Collect these objects, write, I want to be a mermaid on a piece of paper and like run it underwater or something. When you're like 7 years old on the internet, everything on the internet is true when you're seven. And so
Exactly.
I fully was believing that in my core that I would become a mermaid.
Yeah, the internet was such like a mysterious thing. I don't think there was like any concept of like I could put something on the internet, you know?
Yeah, I was like, it has to be an es expert.
I don't
Otherwise,
think it was
how
like
would they have put it up there?
exactly. It was a complete mystery until like iCarly happened, and then suddenly I was
Yeah.
like, oh, we can do this. But
Yeah.
genuinely before that, I don't think it like occurred to me.
Yeah. And then also, not to get into the like anti Gen Z, anti
Oh
like
my
Gen
gosh.
Alpha, but there is something to like, I think kids are learning that the internet is like something that they can use and like post on, like too young for my liking.
A couple of years ago, I lived in a duplex, and the other unit had like a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old who became really obsessed with me and my boyfriend, and that was very cute. But once I saw them watching YouTube shorts on their parents' phone, just pressing the dislike button, like there was no tomorrow. And it was, for some reason, it shook me in my core. It was horrifying.
Oh, and like there are so many times that like on like Instagram or like YouTube that people will like I'll come across a comment or like someone will put, repost this comment where it's so blatantly obvious that it's like a child writing this, like a 5-year-old, and then you have adults arguing with them, and I'm like, I think more people need to realize that you're arguing with a 5-year-old.
Yes, I don't want to be against Gen Alpha, but I do think it was like very valuable. I think as soon as you really started like using the computer in school around like 5th or 6th grade, we had to take like media literacy courses of just like don't post stupid stuff on Facebook. Like,
Yeah. And also, I feel like I was of the generation where everything on the internet is anonymous. That
yeah.
you do not post like your real name, like where you live, like where you go to school. Don't post your real face. So you could kind of like live this like fantasy life on the internet, but then also you're not putting yourself at like I have so much humiliating things in, like in various accounts throughout the internet that I am so glad cannot be traced back to like me as an adult.
Something I really regret doing as a child, I did try to catfish my friend into believing I was Joe Jonas through an email that was like, Joe Jonas, the real one. It's really real. Like, exactly, like at gmail.com. Sorry to that girl.
Yeah, I just think about like my old Tumblr from like even as late as like because I probably got on Tumblr at like 11, 12 and had it up until like 16. And I am so glad that no one can ever trace that back to me. I never posted my real name because I am sure that whatever is going on there is like not anything that needs to be seen by modern.
Yeah, there was like a cold chill that ran down your spine when someone in high school would mention Tumblr, and you would have to be
Yes.
like, no, I don't know what that is. I
I don't know what
really
it
don't know what that is. Yeah, I had like two friends who knew my Tumblr, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like a degree to which like you could have a corner of the internet that was just yours,
Yeah.
like
And you were
just
also free to be embarrassing on the internet without the repercussions.
yeah.
Just because, obviously, again, not to be anti-Gen Alpha, like not saying that kids shouldn't be on the internet, period, but you're obviously stupid. You're 12
Yeah.
years old. You're stupid. You're gonna say stupid stuff. You don't know what you're talking about. And you're gonna be embarrassing and cringe and post fan fiction for Harry Potter or whatever you may do. And having that as like a safe little anonymous world that doesn't have to like affect you lo in your adult life, I think is valuable.
Yeah, it's certainly not trashing anyone. It is more a thing of like, we have not found the societal solution to this, and I really
Yeah,
think we should.
exactly. Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, like, what if we made an internet that was just for kids? And I was like, but then they're gonna want to get back to the real one. They're gonna know it's no
They're gonna figure
good.
out a way to like.
Exactly. Parents didn't let me get a Facebook account until I was like 13 or something. It was an
Yeah.
extremely early age, but I did like make a fake one that was
Exactly.
still like my full name, my full normal name.
Yeah, I feel like we are about to see a generation of people where like every dumb tweet, every dumb like you we're kind of already seeing that. And it's not even like necessarily bad things. Just like
No.
being dumb and like being 12 and embarrassing.
Get a journal, guys.
Yes.
If you're a parent, get a kid a journal.
Your kid a journal. Everyone needs to keep a diary.
Just keep it quiet and tight. And that's parenting tips from me.
Yep.
Man, this has been great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess our final question, would you consider required reading?
I would receive,
Yeah.
especially given that we talked about how many people that can relate to this, how many kids that this could like impact in like so many different ways, and it's like very like emotionally mature for a middle grade book series.
Yeah.
I think so. If you have a 12-year-old, buy her this book.
Fire this book. I think especially I'm really taking note of how it focuses on that age and that moment and sort of like being present where that is. I think that's really valuable. There's such an astonishing jump from like Sesame Street to like Degrassi, and there is not a lot of in-between time. That might be a dated reference, but
Yeah, I feel like this and like Percy Jackson for me were like the things that I remember kind of focusing on, like that awkward 12-year-old stage.
And that it's okay to be in that, and that it's gonna sort itself out, which of course like you never want to hear that.
But it
It will. There's no way 12-year-olds are listening to this, but it'll be fine, you guys. It works
I'll
out.
find a 12-year-old and I'm going to send them this episode.
Thank you. Is there anything you want to plug as we round out?
Not much to plug. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram at Xana Shore.
Well,
Thank you
thank you
so much for
so
having me.
much.
This was so
This was
much
such a
fun.
delight. Yeah. Thank you so much to Xana. Very, very fun book. If you know a 12-year-old or a child who loves mermaids, please give them The Tale of Emily Windsnap. Next, we have Lock and Key, our first Sarah Dessen novel. I'm so excited because I never read Sarah Dessen, and it feels like, that was big hole in my understanding of young adult literature of the aughts. Then we're gonna have Mysteries of Harris Burdick, and then A Series of Unfortunate Events, and then Airhead by Meg Cabot, and then I that's as far as I've scheduled so far. You can find me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles. The R stands for, oh, I'm only coming up with bad things. Rachel, my friend, Rachel Taravecchia. She's an incredible painter. Shout out. Goodbye.